Okay, Ellen, I'm back. Thank you for sitting in for me. And anyone who is getting in on the call, we're recording already. We haven't started yet. And we're just breathing for a couple minutes as everyone's coming in. And we're not going to officially do this when we begin as we did last week when we were setting the energy. But just we'll do this every week as everyone's first getting in on the call for the first couple of minutes till about probably 7:03. Everyone can just breathe, just do some deep breathing, and just set your intention to be aware of your angels and your divine connections and yourself on some level.
Hello, it's Connie. Hello.
And just coming in. Hello. This is Kathy.
Okay.
Welcome. Hi. And we are just breathing just for a couple minutes as everyone's gathering on the call. Welcome, everyone. We're just breathing as everyone's gathering on the call. Hello. Everyone's coming in at once. Great. This is Kathy. Welcome, everyone. And we're going to start about 3 minutes. So if you're just getting in, you can just breathe for a couple of moments. Be coming in, just breathe for a couple of moments and just set your intention to be aware of your angels and your divine connections and yourself on a soul level. And we're going to be starting in just about 3 minutes, so. Welcome, this is Kathy, and everyone's just gathering in, so you're just coming in, just breathe for a couple of moments, we'll start in about 2 minutes, just set your intention to be aware of your angels. And if you've got something going on in your background, you might just mute yourself, *6. I'm doing the muting a little bit different tonight. I'm going to have you all mute yourself in and out. I'll get to that in a moment. So just some breathing for just a couple of moments. Some more. Do whatever you do for a moment to open your heart to your angels. Just breathe for one more moment and we'll start. Welcome, this is Kathy and we're just breathing for a moment. We're going to start in just a moment. Just breathe and set your intention to be aware of yourself on a soul level and of your angels and your divine connections. Welcome, this is Kathy, you're on the call. Just breathing for just a moment. And I'll be right back. I'm just going to turn the entry and exit codes off now for the rest of the call. I'll be right back with you. And we'll go ahead and get started now. And anyone who might still be muted in, how's my volume? Can you hear me pretty loud and clear?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. And welcome, everyone. This is Kathy Landry, and this is June the 30th, 2010. And this is our second class in our series of 4 2-hour classes, How to Communicate with the Angels. And we're going to do the muting a little bit different this time. We had some issues last time. It seemed that you all were saying that when I was muting everyone, using my control to mute everyone in and out, that there was some breaking up and garbling. So I troubleshooted that, experimented with an agent of the teleconference company on the phone, you know, after last week, and we couldn't recreate the scenario, couldn't find any problems. It wasn't really a physical explanation. Sometimes interesting things happen with my work with the angels, with appliances, but I've asked the angels to really smooth that out. But the suggestion that we are going to carry tonight is rather than me muting everyone, I'm just going to completely let you all be able to mute yourselves in and out. So let's everyone mute yourself out if you haven't yet, and you do that by hitting *6. So you'll be muted out, but you can unmute yourself at any time. And we're also going to do things a little bit different tonight with the questions and answers. We're going to be covering a lot of information about technique. So when you have things come up, I know if it's something you feel you can kind of hold towards the end, but otherwise, you know, sometimes we forget our questions or you jot them down, you miss something while you're doing that. So feel free to go ahead and ask your questions if you feel guided to. And so you would just unmute yourself, *6. And then after you finish talking, interacting, asking your question, you know, then mute yourself back out. So *6 either way. And we'll just see how this goes. We ended up doing that a lot this way last week, and I think everything went pretty well. So we're going to have a 5-minute restroom break about halfway through, so you can count on that. And we've already done our breathing, so we're not going to do that. Let's just do really quick introductions really fast. Just your name and where you're calling from, so you can, I should have just left everyone muted in, sorry, but just unmute yourself, *6, and say your name and where you're calling from. One person finishes, if the next person will go. If two people go at the same time, if y'all will kind of back up and one of you, you know, kind of say, well, you go first, and we'll do it that way. Okay, so go.
Evelyn from Katy.
This is Connie from Lubbock, Texas.
Sabina, Seattle.
Kay from Oklahoma City.
Ellen from Dallas.
So I think we had two. We had Ellen from Dallas, and did somebody else go at the same time?
Callie from Houston.
Okay, great. Okay, I think we must have gotten everybody. I know we have some people on the call. We have several people that weren't able to be here tonight. I had some major things come up in their families and health-wise, and several other people that weren't able to be on the calls at all, and they're accessing the recording. So so we're going to go ahead and get started. And last time we talked about some of the emotional issues. And hold on just a second. I'm forgetting I'm going to record this for safeguarding on my end. Let me just get that going. Okay. June 30th, 2010, week 2 of class 1. And last time we spoke a little bit about emotional issues that we might hold or experience any time along the way that could delay or shroud communication with the angels. And we'll follow up with that a bit more either towards the end of tonight or maybe next class. We'll just see how tonight goes. But right now we're going to go right into how to actually communicate. And I want to say that everyone has the ability and the gift to do this. And it really is just how we open to it and what may trigger it for us to sort of awaken or remember it. And so the trigger for us may be different, whether it's just by our intention of joining this class or deciding you want to communicate with the angels, or whether you may be supported in your family to do it. There are other people who are intuitive or were aware of the angels. Or some people had a traumatic experience or maybe some sort of abuse. Or some people, as we know, are struck by lightning or a major life change. There's theories about, for some people, there may be something generational. There's the 100th monkey. Lots of different theories, and we're not really going to go into that because, in my experience, it doesn't matter. And the important thing is that you're here now wanting to communicate, and you have the gift, and you have all of the gifts in many different ways to communicate with the angels. So some of your gifts, and I'm speaking of clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient, some of those may activate more quickly and more profoundly for you than others. And overall, the angels are interested in your heart and your compassion. And they, along with your soul, will weave your gifts and how those gifts work for you into communicating with the angels. I also want to clarify who the angels are. And the angels I work with, they really honor and respect all of us as creators of our own destiny. And they're never angry. They're never frustrated or irritated or impatient. And rarely will I present something as a guarantee, but this I really can. So I'm going to say, if you ever experience some kind of communication with you that feels angry or you feel irritated or impatient, that's not your angels or any angels. And sometimes people will ask, well, how do I know I'm connecting with the angels when I want to start communicating with them? And how do I know it's not, you know, some of the things that people will refer to a negative energy or a dark energy or a non-friendly energy? It's not hard to know that at all. It really is really hard for any energy other than a loving and compassionate one to pose as an angel. And the further good news is that when you open your heart to the angels and you have to communicate, whether it's for yourself or whether it's in a session for someone else, once you've designated the angels as the facilitators of your work, they have a lot of ability not to let something else in, if there is anything trying to get in. The angels, they can communicate very bluntly, very to the point. And the angels I work with, at least, they don't tend to use a lot of what I call flowery language. They're very to the point. They're very down to earth. And they tend to communicate in terms that you'll understand or that your client will understand. The angels also don't play games, and they don't punish. So if you've been ignoring them or not listening to them or arguing with them, as you learned last week, some people have, then they don't get revenge on you. They don't hold out on you. They don't do the silent treatment. There's no punishment. They don't judge you. But they're also not authoritarians, and they don't tell you or your client what you should do or what's right or wrong. And that leads me into, I want to touch on the difference between an angel reading and a psychic reading. And in an angel reading, at least in my angel readings, it's not the intention is not to bring through black and white psychic information. And the reason for that that my angels have told me is that because we're all creating our reality in every moment with our thoughts and our emotions, and everyone else's as well, sometimes angels will give possible options as to how the energy is currently flowing, and if there's a high possibility of something or energy flowing in a certain direction according to how that stands now or how the energy seems to be flowing, sometimes they don't even give that. So it's not so much about receiving psychic information as much as it is insights and tools to help the person heal, whether it's you or your client, and help you or them do the work so that then they can actually know the answers or feel their own soul and make choices that are in alignment to what their true passions are. So I wanted to touch on that. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean that there's not very specific information that can come from the angels, because most certainly there can. But just meaning that that's not the intention, is to say, you know, this is going to happen to you or that's going to happen to you, because that's, according to my angels, that's, we're all creating our reality in every moment. So in that sense, you know, there's very much an aspect of, you know, some of us that work with the law of attraction, or we're familiar with that, is that, you know, we're creators, very much at least co-creators of our destiny. So I want to start with sort of what it's like to actually give an angel session. And this is going to be sort of a blend, so you might give one to someone else, or you might give one Alpha to yourself, because we can really cover the whole gamut of technique and all the innuendos of that by starting with actually giving a session. Plus, if you've not been communicating with the angels yet, I recommend that the most conducive opening of that is by going through the process of facilitating sessions with yourself. And we talked about, you know, those possible emotional issues that can delay or fog communication. And the more you have sessions with yourself where you actually sit down and facilitate that, you're really establishing your commitment and your knowing and your trust of the angels. And this opens you up even more. And it helps to develop those pathways and those muscles. So then it's easier to get what I call angel blips. And that's where, you know, you're going through your day. You could be anywhere, anytime. And they want to be really helpful in something they feel is important, and they want to send a little blip of insight or information through to you. So the more you sit down and actually do a session, the more you kind of creating and getting those antennas really up so that things can come in more spontaneously as well. So we'll cover that as we go. And when you communicate, I really recommend, I think I suggested last week that I don't use a lot of really intricate, complicated technique. This is really more of an allowing. I'm going to share some things definitely. But I recommend that you have very minimal structure. And you sort of think of it more as winging it, but winging it for a purpose. And I'm going to be giving a lot of information tonight. It's not so much complicated structured techniques. The techniques are simple and easy, but I'm going to be sharing a lot of insights and, you know, sort of ins and outs and things that might help you to sort of learn what it feels like when you're getting information from the angels and different ways that it can feel like. And to help you open to the vastness, and the other clue to this is sort of that anything goes. So, by the way, I want to clarify that you don't have to miss a class in order to download the recordings after each class. So even if you're on the class, you're welcome to download just to listen again or to integrate more, because there will be a lot of information. So in giving an angel session, you know, it's very much like developing a muscle. And if you've seen the sort of movie documentary, What the Bleep Do We Know?, and if not, I suggest you watch it. If you have, I suggest that you might watch a part of it again and revisit. It's the part where there's some visuals where they show things in the brain, and it's kind of animated visuals, I think, and how if you're having a thought that maybe is a painful thought, and you have that thought over and over, so you're creating a certain pathways or networks. But then if you replace that with a different thought, maybe a thought that's more positive in a sense or more conducive to you moving forward, or being more in your soul space, then you're creating a new pathway or a new network in your brain. And then the more you have that thought. So my angels have shared with me that it's a very similar process. And the more that you communicate with the angels, whether it's for yourself or for someone else or both, you're really creating. You can know that you're creating that in your brain, in your mind, in your energy field, in your heart, all of those areas. And so it's really doing it, and it's not how long you're doing it, as in you have to do it for years, but it's really more how often you do it in any one day, or let's say maybe in a couple of days at a time or in a week. So one thing that I really noticed probably about, I guess, about a year and a half ago now, when I really started to do the verbal sessions as a standalone, it all started with the music with me, and I'll share more of that as we go, as it's pertinent to you. But when I started to do the verbal sessions, and, you know, that was a new thing, and so getting that going and outreaching to people. So I'd have some sessions booked, and then a friend said, you know, maybe for a couple of days I wouldn't, and I wouldn't do anything with it, and so I really missed it. And a friend said, you know, maybe on days you don't have a session, you should do like, you know, a scholarship session for someone, or a complimentary session, or someone you want to support, or someone needs a session, they don't have the cash flow right now. for them, and it would be really good for you that you're doing it, you're being inspired, you're developing it, you know, it it keeps the momentum of your energy going with it. So I got this idea of doing like some 12-minute free sessions. And I mentioned to you already, you know, lining up maybe friends of friends, people you don't know. But what I did, I just want to know the outcome of it for my development, more consistent and specific intuition with the angels. So I put out there to do these 12-minute sessions, and, you know, for a couple of people did it, and then they told a whole bunch of people, a whole other. And before I knew it, in about a week and a half, you know, I was doing like 3 or 4 of those every day. I was booked for like 10 days in advance. And it was really wonderful, and it was very, very validating. And I had been, as intuitive as I was in those sessions, I had been that intuitive for years when I did the music work. But the thing was that the energy didn't flow quite as quickly or as easily or as comfortably. But when I started to do it every day or more close to every day, and maybe, or even if I did it several days a week, but on those days I did several on that day, it's like it really flexed those muscles. It really built pathways and networks. And that I really recommend as something that you might consider, because it seemed to make a really, really huge difference for me. Now, from here on out, when I'm talking about a technique and how to do a session for the rest of tonight, a lot of times I'm just going to say, you know, do this for your client. And when I say client, it really is all-inclusive. So it means if you have a real client, you're doing it for someone else, or whether you're doing it for yourself or a friend or a loved one. So when I say your client, it refers to the person who's receiving the angel support through you, whoever that is. So the first thing I suggest is that you explore finding the ideal time of day for you, whatever time of day that maybe you feel the most open, you feel the most energy, you tend to feel the most vast, when your mental clarity feels the sharpest. And you probably already have a sense of that, maybe if you meditate or participate or even receive healing work. And so just explore that, and when you discover, if you do, I mean, you may be one of those people that starts off and it's the same all day long, and that will be wonderful for you. But if not, really identify a time of day, morning, afternoon, evening, if there's even certain hours, and really stick with that. Whether you're doing sessions for yourself or someone else, stick with that until it expands for you. And stick with that however long it takes for you to stick with it. I do sessions in the morning. I just in the afternoon, the evening, I'm more, I'm going to say, pumpkin-like intuitively. It doesn't mean I'm not intuitive at all. It doesn't mean I don't do other things. It just means there's a certain edge I have there in the mornings that for right now in my life, whatever the factors are, that's how it is. And so I hold to that because that's when I'm going to do my most quality work, unless someone really has an emergency, in which case I share that, you know, I can do this afternoon or tonight. You need to know it's not my prime time. So stick with your prime time. I also suggest that you may develop your intuition with the angels most quickly and profoundly if you, at least starting off, really explore working remotely. And by that I mean, you know, doing a session by the phone with someone versus them being in person. And that may seem to be the scariest, to not have the person with you, because then you have nothing to go on. But you may very well find that that's actually the easiest when you get down to actually trying it. Of course, I'm not going to say that everyone will learn or develop in exactly the way that I have, but the positive thing or the conducive thing about working remotely is that you have to stretch yourself a bit right from the get-go. So it's sort of like if you wanted to sharpen your hearing, and I'm just talking about your physical hearing ability, that sensory organ, then you might do something where you're not using your other sensory aspects. So you might close your eyes or be in the darkness or put on sunglasses, because then your hearing, you'll focus more easily on that because you won't have the distraction or the other sensory input come in. So it's sort of like that with working, you know, remotely or, you know, across the distance. And you may find that you can learn more deeply, more quickly, to really feel and intuit more, at least in the beginning, if you don't have the physical visuals of your client there in front of you. Because instead you're going to have a blank slate and you won't know anything at all. So your cognitive mind is not going to have much to relate to and to grab onto. Now, I know some of you are going to, or you may end up in the future, because I'll be the first to tell you, never have any idea what you may end up doing with this, but you may end up combining this with other healing work that you do, whether it's energy healing work or counseling, and you may do some of those other healing modalities in person, and so, of course, you want to do your angel work in person, or there's just times you want to do the angel work in person, and by all means, you can definitely do angel work in person. But it just suggests in the beginning that you be really open to exploring and be really brave and try, you know, doing it over the phone, because you may be very pleasantly surprised with how much easier that is in the beginning. And Connie from Lubbock had a question last week, and this really applies to what we're talking to now. And when I sat with this more, with her question connected in more, I got some more things come through. So Connie's question, my understanding was that when she has a client that she's doing some kind of intuitive work with, maybe she has an appointment at noon, and it's more difficult for her for the information to come in at that time, but she finds maybe earlier that morning, if she's driving in a car or she's maybe in an airport, that something starts to come through. And so she wasn't sure if it was a magnetic field or, you know, that was maybe supportive to her, exactly what that was. So there could be something with the magnetic field, but what I wanted to address is that, Connie, you might explore if when you're in a car or when you're in an airport, you know, the similar thing there as well is that both of those have to do with autonomy and movement and possibility and maybe a feeling of vastness. And so that maybe when you're in those situations related to travel, you feel more vast, so then you feel more open. And then when you're more open, combined with that you're not really trying at that time, because you don't have the appointment with your client at that moment, then the information comes through. And then the ball's rolling, and then you relax. And so then you're more good to go than by the time the session rolls around for your client. So it's possible that either you subconsciously or your angels or both may be helping you to set up ultimately kind of an ideal way to do your intuitive work. And probably you won't actually need to be in the car or in the airport, but what I'm going to describe from here may be what you're sort of trying to set up for yourself. And that's what I call pre-connecting. And I found this incredible way to do sessions that is really the heart of how I do it, and I think absolute key to how well my sessions go. And I kind of came across it accidentally. And this was also bad. Well, this was right before I put out, you know, that I would do the 12-minute free sessions. And I started off, you know, years ago doing the music, and then Insights Will Come From the Angels with that. Then I moved in a few years ago to doing some toning and vocalizing, and Insights Come Along with that. You know, I always felt I needed the music with it. And so I was outreaching to a client from many years back, when with the keyboard music, and I was telling him actually what I was doing with the toning and the vocalizing and the angel insights with it. And he said, well, you know, I'm sure the toning would be nice, but, you know, I'm getting that you really have some information for me from the angels. And would you just do a session where it's just the verbal? Because I don't feel like I really need the, you know, the sound. I just want the verbal. And could you do that? And I responded the way I usually responded throughout when something new came up. I said, well, I don't know if I could do that. And he said, well, would you mind trying? Because I'm really getting you got some stuff for me, and I really want it. So I said, well, okay, as long as you know I've never really done it that way, whatever. So I was a little bit nervous. So what I found myself doing when I had his appointment the next day or whenever, because I was a little nervous, it was like, I don't know, maybe a couple hours before, I was like, gosh, I don't know, can I do that? Because I'd never done it without the sound or music being a part of it, you know, that creative spontaneous energy. So how do I do this? And so I kind of said, I wonder if something would go ahead and come through right now. And then I would know that, yeah, I can do it, and something's coming through, even just one thing. And I was doing that thing, you know, that kind of pleading with the angels, you know, can you just send one thing through so I can feel comfortable and I know, and then I'll know the rest of it will come through. And so, sure enough, several things came through, and I jotted them down. And so then when I started the session with him, I started, of course, by sharing what had come through before, and he validated that it was very specific information. It completely applied to him. It was so specific, it was about a black and white cat in his neighborhood that he'd been communicating with, and he validated all of it. He'd had a spiritual experience with a cat. And we have someone, maybe he's not muted out. Could you just kind of check and see if you remember if you muted out here, like paper, maybe turning if someone's making notes. So if you're not muted out, if you could just hit *6. It's okay, we're doing really good with this. And do remember that if you want to ask a question or, you know, comment, that you can unmute yourself and definitely just jump right in. Then when I started sharing with him what had come through, then from there, more came through. And it just took a flow. You know, I didn't plan it. It just literally happened that way. So I shared more. And what had come through in the what I'm going to call the accidental pre-connecting before, when I was sharing that with him, even more came through about those particular things. So there was embellishment, more detail that came through. And then once that was going, then while I had him live on the phone, other spontaneous things started coming through. Then he had some questions he wanted to ask, and then that went really well because the energy was flowing. You know, I was comfortable. The connection was well underway. So it was an accidental thing, but it worked so well, and I knew that was, you know, how I was meant to do it. And I didn't really say, well, I'll always do it this way or what. It definitely was going to be how I did it then. So that was several years ago. And I still do it the same, except I don't connect several hours before. I'll get to that in a moment. But, Connie, what I'm suggesting, and I think that this applies to everyone, is that, you know, you may have been, that may have been sort of in the makings of setting up for you that you might consider having a pre-connecting time right before your session. What happens is once you get into the energy of doing a pre-connecting, and then you know you're going to do it, and you trust yourself that you're going to make space for it, and you do that by just making it part of your appointment. In other words, the person, it's not their appointment time yet, but on your end, it's part of the appointment, it's part of the process, just as much as the part of when you're on the phone with the client. So once established doing the pre-connecting, you likely will find, Connie and all of you, that most of the time the angel's insights about that person will wait and come through during your pre-connecting rather than earlier in your day or the night before, because you'll no longer be feeling the pressure, and you know you'll have the time before with your client. And just the more you do it, the pre-connecting, and that works for you, you're going to have validation, you're going to feel more established and confident about it. So rarely now for me does information come about a client before my established pre-connecting time. Occasionally it does, and sometimes it doesn't feel connected with me feeling nervous at all. Now, I did notice a couple months ago I had some dental surgery and thought I would be off from sessions for about 2 days. Had some complications, ended up not being able to talk for like 12 days. So when I got back into doing sessions after 12 days, it wasn't a serious doubt or nervousness, but, you know, a subtle thought whisper of, oh, I hope I can still do it, and I hope I still know how. I hope I haven't lost it, whatever it I thought was. And in that moment, whatever my first client the next day getting back into it, something came through, you know, that night before. Oh, thank you, angels. So jotted it down, and all I needed was that one thing, and then I was good to go from there. So I wanted to share that. So you do your pre-connecting, And I suggest about, now for me, I start my whole process about 30 minutes before a session if I'm going to record it, either for a client or if I'm doing a session for myself. So I spend about 5 minutes, get my recording equipment on, you know, getting myself everything I need gathered. And then I spend about 5 minutes doing some breathing, well, 3 to 5 minutes. And then I spend about 20 minutes doing the actual pre-connecting where the information is flowing through. So when you sit down to do your pre-connecting, I suggest that you sit on the floor, if that's at all comfortable for you, or maybe on a rug or a mat. Or if you need to sit in a chair or a couch, maybe, you know, have your feet on the floor. And you can do a short grounding technique if you feel you need to. I don't do any grounding techniques for myself. I just have a sense that because I do sit on the floor, and the breathing when I do that tends to be grounding enough for me. But if you feel you need a grounding technique, you know, most of us, I think, know some of those. You can visualize or feel as though there's roots coming from your sacral area into the earth, or they're coming from the bottom of your feet, you know, into the earth. So you can explore grounding techniques if you feel you need them. The other thing I enjoy about sitting on the floor is it's very casual, and I'm going to talk next week more about casualness. But that's one of the core sort of grassroots insights I have for you, that really the most casual that you can be, sort of a come as you are, it's been very profound for me. It's almost like if you've ever had a job where you had to dress up for, and then on Fridays you could wear jeans or casual, and on that day that you were casual, maybe you felt like you did a better job than ever on your job. So it's sort of that kind of energy. The next thing I want to say about communicating with the angels and moving into this, talking about the pre-connecting, is not to try too hard. Just to allow it to be really easy. So where I want to go from here, I also want to add, always have some water for yourself. And that's also grounding. It's very nurturing. It's just very supportive for yourself to drink some water before. And when I actually do a client, I really give myself leeway with them with the pre-connecting. In other words, I don't make them a part, an official part of the pre-connecting, but I do tell them, we'll get more into this later, but you know, I actually email some sort of instructions after their appointment is set, and asking them to put a cushion into their schedule. So if they have a one-hour session schedule, I ask them to cushion their time with an extra 15 minutes because I do some special pre-connecting. And what that gives me the allowance for is, let's say their appointment is at 9:30, and at 9:30 I'm right in the middle of something coming through for them in my pre-connecting. I can just stay with that and finish that, or if for any reason the information came through more slowly, the angel said there's more to come through and I need to stay in it longer, I can do that for another 15 minutes without them thinking I've forgotten them. So they know that may happen, so I tell them I'll call them sometime between their appointment time and 15 minutes after that. And I suggest that you not make your client or your friend any official part of your pre-connecting. That means that they don't need to be sitting down where they are or meditating or trying to be open to or anything like that. Because if you do that, you're really setting up the same dynamic as though you had your client there on the phone with you, that dynamic you're not wanting to have, and you're not wanting to have the pressure or feel them trying to connect with you. So you don't really suggest you not do that. Now, some clients or your friend may naturally meditate. That's what they do before they receive a session or any kind of healing work. They meditate or they sit and center themselves. And if they do that, that's fine. I don't really tell the person what to do before their session, except just to open their heart, just come with an open heart. That leaves it open to them. So while you're doing the pre-connecting, you know, on your own, they may be doing anything. They may be sitting, meditating, centering themselves. They may be running around, finishing things in their life. They may be rushing around, whatever that is. Doesn't really matter. And if someone asks me if they need to do anything to help with, you know, pre-connect or whatever, I just say no. Just do whatever you do for yourself to be in your heart. Now, I suggest that when you sit down to do the pre-connecting, that you not do a really deep meditation before. And sometimes we may think that may help, and that may be, you know, a road for you, but I'm just going to suggest in the beginning probably not to go that route. And just to do just 3 to 5 minutes, in the very beginning you might start 5 minutes, you might even do 10 minutes of breathing if you're first starting off, never done this before. But eventually just 3 to 5 minutes of breathing, not extremely slow breathing, just normal speed, but deep. You really breathing from your diaphragm, and suggest breathing in through your nose and then breathing out through your mouth and really expelling it. So just a normal speed breathing, unless you're feeling really nervous or stressed or you're running late, running around at the last minute, and your heart's racing, then you might want to breathe much more slowly. Like I did at the dentist last week when I was waiting to get in the dentist chair, you know, when they took my blood pressure before the procedure, my blood pressure was really low because I've been doing all this breathing, like 30 minutes, and my lower number was 50, and they asked me, is this, I was concerned, is this normal blood pressure for you? And I said, well, this morning, it's normal. So you can really do a lot with your breathing. It helps your brain waves to go into deeper brain waves. But if you just breathe for a couple of minutes at a normal speed, some brain waves will shift, but you're not going to go in a trance kind of state. And you'll be able to be a very conscious channel, which is definitely what I recommend. And a conscious channel means nothing takes over, nothing or no one, including the angels. They don't take over your body, and they don't take over your basic personality. And that's really most conducive for the information to come in. It's most conducive to really benefit your client. And it's most conducive and safe for you as a facilitator and your body and your health. It's the safe way, and it's the only way that I recommend, the only quality way. And you can be a conscious channel and have all the visions that you need to have, all the multidimensional experiences you could ever want to have. You can have direct communication with transition people or animals as a completely conscious channel. All you need to do is just go into a relatively calm state, and the angels will help you with that. Okay, so you've done your first 3 to 5 minutes of breathing. And then you're going to do about 20, you might allow 25 minutes of pre-connecting information flow. And so then what I do is very simple. I say, okay, angels, what do you have for, and I say the person's first and last name. Just, okay, angels, what do you have for their first and last name? Very much recently, for months, that's the only question I ask. Sometimes I might rephrase the question a little different. I don't plan it. It just kind of comes out the way it does. Sometimes I say, okay, angels, and I'd say the person's first and last name, what do you want me to tell her or him? Or sometimes I say, okay, angels, and I say the person's first and last name, what do I need to know? And again, this is all in the pre-connecting before my client's ever on the phone, 20 to 25 minutes before I'm going to be on the phone with them, or in person if you were going to be in person. So the other thing sometimes I have said, and this may sound a little odd, but it works. I don't think the angels need for me or you to say this, but it helps me to feel that I can open. And sometimes I've said, the person's name and, you know, what do I need to know? And I'll say, okay, angels, just bypass me and my stuff. And, one morning I felt like, the information was coming kind of slowly, And I'm not sure what was going on. I probably just felt, you know, a little bit tired or, you know, who knows. There's a lot of things that can come in. We'll talk about in a minute. Or not come in, but different factors that can be. And it really helped me. And, you know, just heard myself say that to myself. Just bypass me and my stuff. And it just meant, didn't mean take over my body or take over my voice or anything. It just meant, you know, just work around me. Work around me and my stuff. It's also a really good thing to say if you feel that you have a lot going on in your life or you feel you have anything going on in your life. We all have the things going on that are challenges. So if you feel like you're really feeling that that morning or whenever you're doing your session, just say that. You know, just bypass me and my stuff or whatever phrase kind of clicks for you where you feel like you're really saying that. And it will help you to open. And what I will say if you do that, we'll talk more in a later class when we talk about caretaking yourself, but if you do that and you really have a sense that, you know, you're really kind of bypassing, you know, your tired body or whatever, then make sure that you take care of yourself later. In other words, don't get into a thing where you're always not taking care of yourself, but bypassing yourself and your stuff. So for me, once I've said that, I also can just feel myself, you know, an energy come over, and I feel the angels helping where I just suddenly have energy and I feel vibrant. So it can be very profound. Sometimes what I've said, too, when I say something like, okay, angels, say the person's name, you know, what do you have for them? Sometimes I'll say that several times. Or I'll say it if I'm sitting for a moment and maybe I don't feel that I'm allowing insight to come through, then I'll say it again. Or I'll say one of the different questions, but just keep it very simple. I just have two or three kind of questions that I use that work for me. Sometimes the information then that comes through can start with the word that. So, example is, you ask, okay, what do I need to know? What do you have for this person? And sometimes it can start, you can kind of intend it to start with that. So it could be like that, you know, there's a discomfort in their arm, or that, you know, their mother is wanting to communicate with them, or that this, or that. And so it can just be helpful. It gives your mind just one word to kind of start the verbal flow. And then you sort of complete the sentence, or allow the sentence to be completed by the angels. And that wasn't something I planned for myself. I just noticed, especially in the beginning, things would start to come through that way. I'd ask what I needed to know, and they'd say that whatever, whatever, or that whatever, whatever. And that was helpful for me. And so that may be a tool that that can help kind of get the dialogue going. When you're doing a session, for yourself, you would follow the same, everything that we're going through. And when you do it for yourself, you might either have the information flow in as if someone's talking to you, so, you know, through your thoughts, so they might say, okay, well, you might consider this, or this may be happening with you, or it may come through as though you're actually doing a session for someone. So let's say you're doing a session for someone else, and the insights are coming through, and the angels might be saying, you know, she is having a concern with her right leg, or he this or that. And so it may come through for you yourself that way when you're doing your self-session, as though you're an observer, you know, as though you're doing a session for yourself. It's like you're doing a session for someone else. So either of those could just spontaneously flow that way for you, or you could try one or the other when you're doing a session for yourself and see which one might tend to flow the easiest As I said before, don't try too hard to communicate. And when you're channeling or receiving insight, try not to have the perspective that you're trying to hone in on limited, specific information. In other words, that you're trying to close in or narrow down on the information. You know, like you're trying to find a needle in a haystack. Because that sort of energy will tend to limit you and maybe make it a little bit harder to hear. So instead, work with having the energy that anything goes and that truly you can't have any idea what will come. That there's hugely vast possibilities of what the information for that person or for yourself could be. And that you welcome the angels, you know, their huge supply of what they could bring through for that person or for yourself. And it's sort of like, won't it be neat to see what information comes and finds you and pops into your mind? So that's where the creative energy comes into play. You know, I mentioned in the first class about maybe working with spontaneous movement, spontaneous finger painting, anything that allows creative energy in the moment without conscious thought, just to express itself. So in the same way that you might do a finger painting or some spontaneous movement of your body, it's like, who knows what you're going to do next? You have no idea. It's really limitless, and there's literally millions of possible combinations of moves and steps. You know, if you're doing creative movement, there's millions of possible combinations of moves and steps. So if you can have the feeling of how neat it would be, it's so limitless, and there's so many possibilities, and what movement will happen? What movement will you feel drawn to do? And it's the same way with allowing the information from the angels. So we're going to do a little exercise here that will demonstrate this. And so what I suggest is that you just for a moment free your dominant hand and just do, or in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do just some spontaneous movement just with that hand. And, of course, that may include your wrist, you know, your arm to some degree. But you're going to focus on the movement of the hand and the wrist, whatever your arm needs to do to allow that. So only your dominant hand for right now. And rather than feeling that there's right or wrong movement or what looks good or it being about artistry, or rather than thinking about what you're feeling and then how you're going to express that, just move without any conscious thought. It's just an energy flow. It's out of creative energy and that feeling that anything could go. And without having any clue, you're just going to move and make however many movements come in the time that you're doing it. And don't think about when you make each movement. Don't think about why you made that movement or what it means. Just do it. Okay, so go ahead and start now. Movement without conscious thought. Just go at it. Anything goes. Whatever pops in, just keep going. Okay. So this is a really helpful thing that you can do, and you can do throughout your day. And you might pair that up with whatever routine activities, when you have meals, when you go to the restroom, when you drink a glass of water, and just allow yourself to do that. And you can include different parts of your body, you know, maybe one time do one part of your body, or maybe you can do both hands at the same time, whatever. And it's also really a great technique I'm going to use to keep you all awake tonight. So it's an example of the angels being really, really efficient, so I really love that. Now, back to the pre-connecting and what it feels like in that similar way of how you moved your hand without any conscious thought and just feeling, it could be kind of exciting and you have no idea what is going to come through. Won't it be neat to see what's going to come through to support your client or to support yourself? So no need to worry about out of the billions of bits of information or insights that could come to you, how the ones will come that'll be the most supportive to your client, because that's where the angels come in. Just as when you moved your hand, if you were really doing it quickly and just letting yourself move and not really consciously thinking, you weren't really directing it with your cognitive mind. You weren't thinking, okay, I'm going to move my thumb now. Okay, well, let me move this way. Let me move this that way. You just did it. So in a similar way, if something was guiding your hand. So in a similar way, when you're receiving the angelic insight, this is where the angels come in. So out of the billions of bits of information or insight that could come, literally billions, for any one person, they bring it to you, what will most support your client or yourself. They bring it to you out of, you know, that field of potential. They bring the insights. They bring the words to you. And you have no idea what's going to come. So it's best not to try to be the one narrowing it down. It's best not to try to be like a periscope, you know, like you're going to see your periscope about submarine up above the water. The angels know what they're going to bring to you. So your part is just to allow them to bring it. And your part is just to be open and as vast as you can and allowing, and let the angels handle the specifics. Now, I know that sounds easier said than done, but I'm just trying to convey to you as best I can with the words the angels have brought through, to just help you kind of get a feeling, and some of this you may need to hear again, just sort of a feeling of what it feels like. So when this all becomes comfortable, that you can realize there's billions of bits of information or insights that can come, then you're really getting there. And all you have to do is show up in reasonable good form, and it's sort of from there, it's like, you know, putting yourself in autopilot. And when you think about it, it's the angels who want to work with your client, or work with you if they're bringing help for you. So they orchestrated your connection. And in particular, if you're working with a client, you know, they orchestrated your connection with the person to begin with. So why wouldn't the angels come through for you? And they also want to communicate with you for you to help you as well. So why wouldn't they come through for you? Another conducive way to look at it, as the angels suggest, is that it's like there's a richly detailed picture there at any given instant for you or your client. So it's almost like, you know, if you, those sort of books where, I don't know, what's something more like, you know, find Elmo in the picture, or find, you're going to find the hidden bird in the picture, and it's a very, lots of detail in a picture maybe of nature or all kinds of things, and you're going to find, you know, you're going to identify things in it. Except again, it's the angels that are going to bring your awareness to those things they want to bring your awareness to. But that there's actually a very richly detailed picture there at any moment for you or your client. So it's kind of like, what nuggets out of that picture will the angels bring to your attention? It's unpredictable creative energy. And when I'm doing a session, I literally can feel them bringing my attention to something. And sometimes, you know, if it's on a physical level, if it's the person's leg, or if it's for myself, if it's my arm. Another way of sort of feeling the vastness is, you know, when you receive information, or a lot of people when they receive something that they're trying to be intuitive, and they may say, well, you know, I got something, but I don't know, maybe it's my imagination. And what it suggests is that if you tend to think that, or you're wondering, is it just my imagination, I think is what we usually say, then think of it this way. Of all the billions of things that you could have imagined, you imagine that bit of information, or that vision, or that image. And so if you imagined, if you want to call it imagining, out of the billions of possibilities, then it means something. Now I want to touch a little bit on how information comes. And it can come in a lot of different ways. And in class 3 and 4, we're going to delve even more deeply into it with lots more examples and that sort of thing. But what I do is I I am just very open when I do sessions. I'm very open and very, very flexible to how the information, you know, how the bits of information come, as far as, is it visual, is it a thought, you know, how does it come? And also that can vary depending on, in my experience, many factors. One of those is that the angels know the very best way to portray something to your client. They know that person very intricately, emotionally and energetically, spiritually, and they also know you, and they know how, if you're bringing something through for a client, they know the best way to convey it to you so that you get it. It also can depend on the factors of your brain that day, the state of the very intricate state of your mind, your body, your heart, and your soul. It could depend on some astrological things going on with you, and not necessarily meaning that there's anything wrong or less with any variation. So if there's a certain way information comes and, oh, you know, there's maybe your brain's working a certain way that day, there's no less than, in my experience, of the information. The angels will just find different variations, different ways to bring the information that works in that instant, in that day. So you really just go with the flow. And because also, you know, energy ebbs and flows in different ways on the planet in any moment and all around us and through us. And so the angels will help you sort of raft down the river, and they'll help really coordinate that for you. And by being that open, I've developed to some degree all of the ways of hearing and knowing. So clairvoyantly, clairaudiently, clairvoyant, if anyone doesn't know, that's where you you know, you see things, you see visual images or visions, but not really with your physical eyes, although that's possible, but you see it sort of in, you know, your mind's eye. Some people talk about the third eye. Clairaudient would be where you hear. You could actually hear sound. When I'm receiving information, I don't hear a voice, but I have thoughts come into my mind. It's like a thought process is when the information comes through. Like something telling me, someone telling me something that's like a thought. And I call that, I put that in with clairaudience, because it basically you're kind of hearing with your thoughts. Clairsentient is where you feel, you know, kinesthetically, or where you're an empath and you can feel energy. Other terms are telepathic, being psychic. So I developed to some degree all of those ways of receiving and communicating and being aware, just by being open and just by doing it, just by communicating with the angels. And so can you. You can develop all of those ways as well. Now, when information comes through, sometimes, and I'm still back in the pre-connecting, so you're in your 20 to 25 minutes before your client or, you know, doing a session with yourself. And sometimes when things come through, you know, that might say, you ask, what do I need to know? And they'll say that, whatever, whatever. Or they might not say that, and they just, you just start to get information come through. Sometimes they, with me, they'll say something like, well, tell her or tell him this or that. Usually not. I don't get that a lot, but sometimes it comes, especially if there's something very specific, like a certain word they're suggesting that you use, or a certain phrase that, you know, phrase a certain way. And so you want to bring that through exactly in that way. And sometimes information will come sort of in a third person, you know, as though you're being told something, you know, like her, I think I already mentioned that, I'm sorry, her mother this, or, you know, his arm is has an issue, or she's moving in a direction of whatever, or he may find soon that this or that. So other information comes as just a phrase. Sometimes it's a psychic sense about something, and it can very much feel like that I just know something. You know, it's almost like the same way that you know what color the pen is you're writing with right now. Or if there's a lamp in front of you, you know exactly what that amp looks like, that lamp, you just know. So sometimes it can feel like that's how instant it is. So there's no tell her this or, you know, it's not necessarily a dialogue. It's just something that you just know. And that's something that in particular I found really develops with doing. So also you may have a vision, you know, the clairvoyant vision. And the vision can be can have to do with energy. You may be shown visions of energy or the person's energy field. There may be something symbolic, or sometimes there might be a vision you might have of an organ in the person's body. Really, anything goes. And what we're going to do here is, let's just pause. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. But let's just pause, and if anyone has a question they want to ask before the break or anything you want to comment, just unmute yourself, star 6, and come right on in. And it's okay if you don't have any questions. We're covering a lot, so let me just say, is everyone okay? Hello? Is everyone still with me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, just want to make sure. I know I'm giving a lot of information, so I just want to hear a couple of voices. And so let's go ahead and take a 5-minute break, and we'll meet you back in 5 minutes. Now, just to let you know, the recording will still be going on. I don't want to turn it off and risk forgetting to turn it back on. So if you've got something noisy going on in your area, maybe just go ahead and mute yourself out, star 6, before your break. Okay, see you in 5 minutes. anyone who's back, we'll start in about 2 minutes. Okay, we're going to go ahead and start back here. Let me just get my recording on my end here going again. Okay, so we're starting back here with the second hour of class 2 on June the 30th, 2010. Okay, so anyone have any questions so far now that you've had your break?
This is Connie. I don't have a question, but I do want to say, Kathy, the things you've talked about tonight have really helped me, and especially when you mentioned something about don't feel like you're or don't try to get the information like you're looking for a needle in a haystack.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that's what I was doing. I was, in those times, I was trying so hard, you know, to search for the information, to bring the information through instead of just allowing it. So thank you for that.
Right. Oh, good. I'm glad that was supported to you. You know, the interesting thing, another live example here of the angels, is that when that was coming through, you know, couple of weeks ago or whatever, and they started sending through things for how to teach this, and they talked about that needle in the haystack. I said, well, I'm not sure I like, you sure you want to use needle in a haystack? And they was like, yeah, needle in a haystack. So I'm glad I used that. Thank you for that validation. So that's really an example right there of using what comes through and trusting that. So, and I'm also, you know, just trying to give you a feel for really connecting in, and this has been interesting for me because, you know, this is just something, the way that I do my sessions, it's just kind of, you know, happen. And I know the angels have orchestrated that. And so, you know, I've kind of gone back and thought, well, what do I do? And what does it feel like? And how could I explain what that feels like for me? So so that's what I'm trying to do. And thanks, Connie. Does anyone else have a question before we get going again? Okay. So... now, when we're still back in the pre-connecting, whether for yourself or for someone else, so we've talked about kind of how the information might feel coming through, the different kinds of information, or kind of how it might present itself, in other words. And what I do is, of course, I write it down as things are coming through. So, and I write it down in the order that it comes, because the angels really have a priority and an agenda for the information. They know exactly what they're doing. They're weaving things in ways that you can possibly imagine. And the more you do sessions, especially if you do them for someone else, that you'll really get the feel of that so incredibly. So you come to really know that and to trust it. So for right now, you'll just have to trust me a bit on it. So write it down in the order that it comes. And it might not make sense. So you may have a client, or it could be yourself, and there's something major going on in, you know, your life, and or your client, you know about it. And that may not be even in anything that comes from the pre-connecting from the angels. So, because they know what the person's concerns are, they know the process, so if there's something to come through first that the person needs to work with healing with, or they need to experience or process or do before they can get to the other stuff, also they know what your client's questions are. So they're wanting to maybe send all these other things through that are very critical and crucial, and again, maybe first steps, because they know that when you get to the question time later in the session that you know, your client can ask other questions that they know that what they're going to ask about their concern. So that will get covered. So write down in the order that it comes. And even if something comes through and that may be something important, it could even be if you're doing a session for yourself that's important for you, and you think, well, I really want to know more details about that. But for the purpose of when this is first coming through, just write everything down. And you can always go back later and ask for more details about certain things. So just follow the flow of what's coming through spontaneously, exactly as it comes through. And I suggest you do it in what your usual writing style is. So if you're not usually very neat when you're making notes and you know, draw lines to this and to that and that kind of thing, then do that. Do what's natural. And also sometimes, at least with me in my sessions, towards the end of the pre-connecting, after everything that's come through, then they go back and sometimes they go back and add something, or sometimes they'll even sort of change the order. And I just find myself going back and it's just a guidance. And, okay, well, we're going to do this before that. But only if I really get a guidance. It's not my analytical mind going back, well, it makes more sense to do that, talk about that before that. That's not the case. It's when there's really, really a guidance. It's the same feeling of when the information's coming in to begin with. But for the most part, it's going to usually stay with whatever order it initially came in. But they may add something, and you may go in, and because everything's changing. You know, the energy of your client's changing every second while you're doing this, not drastically for your purpose of a session, but just be open to, you know, making a note down here messily on the page and drawing an arrow up there, if that's what you get. Or if you're usually very, very neat, then be neat. However, I'm going to suggest not to be too neat, not to have too much structure. You know, don't create a format that you and have that kind of rule how you bring the information through, because that may sort of slow down that flow of creative energy. So you want to keep it the same way as when you were moving your hand earlier, and you know, you weren't making a format, you weren't doing a conscious thought, you're just allowing it to flow through. So you want to keep your notes really simple, and you just have a blank page. Now what I do is I just put the person's first name. I don't know why I don't put their last name, because I say their last name in the beginning when I'm asking the angels what they have for the person. But for some reason on the paper, I'm always guided just to put their first name. And I think that's so that I don't have too much on the paper. So it's just their first name, and that's it. And then I, you know, put the rest of it. And I usually, for me, what works really well is I use dashes. So let's say, you know, they bring something through. The person, you know, their right, and I'm talking about right arm, but I'm just keeping it simple, you know, their right arm, whatever. So you bring that through, and I put like a little, you know, a dash before I write the sentence or the phrase. And the next thing that comes through, especially if it's something different, completely different, then I put another dash and put that. If what comes through next is related to the first step that came through, then I just include it in the same kind of paragraph. But, you know, you just do what works for you, but I'll just share those kind of simple little tools, because you'll end up reading that back to your client or working with it, and the dashes are very helpful for you to find your place, because we're going to get more into the delivery of it next class, but a lot of embellishment will come, And so you'll be looking back and finding your place on the paper. So the dashes can be very helpful. Or, you know, a star, asterisk, whatever works for you. Now, a clue with this I mentioned is, you know, really anything goes when you're communicating with the angels. And, of course, I mean within love and light. But I just mean the more vast and open you can be through the process of the session. And even what you're going to do in the session. And, you know, I've done some very unique things. A lot of it's insight coming through and tools coming through. We're going to get into tools, actual tools that can come through next class. But you can also find yourself doing some actual emotional processes with a person that you could have never imagined. Sometimes that unfolds during the session that you don't even have a clue in the pre-connecting. And so I don't want to get too much into that tonight. I think that's a lot you don't need to quite know yet. But the bottom line is you just want to be very flexible, very open. And if you can be comfortable with this following scenario that I'm going to share, if you, let's say that you were to do 100 angel sessions for people, friends, loved ones, even for yourself, or all of them for yourself, and every one of those 100 sessions were laid out completely differently. They worked in a completely different way. The whole format of the session was completely different. 100 different formats, if you want to call it that way, or procedures or ways of doing it. If you can be open and comfortable to that, then you're really a large way there. Now, you'll likely find that a number of your sessions will roll out in a similar fashion, because it works well that way for you and it works well for your clients. But if they were all different, every single one of them, and you could be okay with that and in the moment, in the now with that, then that's a huge, huge plus for you. So I suggest that you be with that and be very open, work with that. So another reason why I really advocate doing creative spontaneous activities, because you can really learn that flow of unpredictability. And you learn to feel the beauty and the vastness of that and to be comfortable with it. And I happen to begin this journey and develop my gifts, you know, in conjunction with the music. And that's how I know that any kind of creative in the moment, freedom of expression, you know, freedom of expression activity can really help you grow intuitively. So I really, really encourage that. Now, when the information's coming through, sometimes it may really be a dialogue. In later classes, I'm going to give more examples of that. Sometimes it can just be words or phrases, and I already kind of mentioned that, visions. Sometimes the visions can be kind of story-like, like a story unfolding in your mind. It's not usually, in my experience with the angels, the visions are not usually extremely symbolic, not to the point where you have to go look something up, you know, like what did that mean, or usually it's pretty evident, although even symbolic, but very evident, and the angels also will interpret and explain to you. On the occasion that they don't, then you present it to your client, and most of the time they're going to know exactly what that's about. And that helps to go it in a certain direction. So sometimes the angels purposefully do it that way and don't explain to you because it's going to be more profound for your client that way. Sometimes it can be for their privacy as well. Sometimes when information comes in, it feels like someone's showing me something, bringing my attention to it, putting the thought into my mind, and sometimes, and I think I already said, it just feels very psychic, as though I just instantly know that. So basically, you know, the angels are your designated drivers, and so a lot of this is about trust, and the more that you trust, and that's the other really plus for just the more you do this, you know, even if they're 10-minute sessions or 12-minute sessions, the more you do it, the more you just get in that flow, and it really builds your trust with the angels as well. So we're going to do another exercise here, and what we're going to talk about is And what this is like also when you do your sessions, if you're doing a session for someone, is, you know, you're taking someone that you don't know and you know nothing about them, and a simple way of feeling it is what pops into your mind when you think of that person, as if you knew them. You don't, and you don't know a thing about them, but what, as if you knew them, what pops into your mind? In other words, if you could pretend that you know them, what would you know? What comes to you about that person as if you knew them? Those are kind of little mind things that you can work with that really helps to open it up. And, you know, I suggested you set up some short appointments with friends of friends. And if you haven't done that, actually, or you may want to consider waiting and doing that between class 3 and 4, or even later after you finish the whole class. A little bit of a change in that, of how that might go the best for you. So you're focusing on someone you don't know. And so it's like, what would you know if you knew them? Okay, and then what else? And what else? And what else? And you do it really fast. So it's literally what pops in without trying to analyze with your cognitive mind. It's just as though if you knew them, you know, as though you could know as clearly as the pen, what color the pen that you're writing with. So we're going to try this in kind of a fun little way. And I'm going to ask for a volunteer in a minute, but we're going to have everybody kind of see what they get about you, but we're not going to share. What in this exercise this time, we're not going to share what anyone gets, but I'm going to see who wants to volunteer. That what you'll do is you'll unmute yourself, and you're just going to say your first and last name out loud, and everyone else to themselves is going to say your full name just silently to themselves and to their angels, and they're going to ask one of those questions that I suggest or that I use, like, they're going to say your name to themselves and say, what do I need to know about this person, and say their name, or what do you have for this person, whatever short little question, very open-ended question. And so everyone, what you'll do is you'll do that, and you'll write down something that you get or however much that you get in the time that I give you. So we won't do any sharing or validating time. It's just to get your feet wet. So do I have a volunteer who wants to say, be the first and last name person?
This is Connie. I'll do it.
Yay, Connie. Okay. So, in just a moment, Connie will say her name first and last, and then you'll silently ask, you know, one of those questions to your angels. And just jot down just what you get in all the ways that I described, just being as open as you can. Okay, so go for it, Connie. Just say your name.
Okay. My name is Connie Surratt.
Okay. And just say your name again, and don't say my name is, just say Connie Surratt. And why don't you say it like maybe 3 times with just a little pause in between each time.
Okay. Connie Surratt. Connie Surratt. Connie Surratt.
Okay, perfect. Everyone go with it. Okay. So if you had some things come through and you jotted them down, then just hang on to those. We may do something with that later. I'm not sure yet, but we may, so you can hang on to that. Just wanted you to kind of get your feet wet. And don't worry if you didn't have anything come through. Many years ago, I took a class with one of my first mentors and, you know, developing intuition, and I was even already doing some of the work with the music and having some intuitive things come through. But when we did some exercises like this in class, it's like, I didn't have anything come through, you know. So this is just to kind of start to get your feet wet and start to get those antennas, you know, just kind of dust it off a little bit and get the heads of the antenna starting to come up and be more active. So this is something that you can, you know, continue to work with. And if you feel between this class and the next one you want to go ahead and do that with some friends, if friends you can, you could even just have their name and just see what you get and make notes, but don't do their session yet. And the next week we're going to go more in depth about, because there's quite a bit kind of about how to deliver information to the person, lots of insights about that and the process of that. And then at that point, after that, you could actually have your session, and you'll have your notes, you know, from this week, and you could do another pre-connecting then. So just however you feel, if you have time this next week to kind of, you know, explore a little bit, or someone that you could just kind of try it out, just sort of like we did tonight. Okay, what I want to talk about now is a little bit about self-communication. So obviously the exercise we just did, I want to back up, you know, you can do that for yourself as well. And that's, you know, exactly what we've already talked about having a session for yourself. And, you know, so Connie, if you were doing a session for yourself, you could say, okay, Angels, what do you have for Connie Surratt? And I suggest you say your name, and so you're kind of like the observer, so you're doing a session, you know, for someone else. Now,
can I share something real quickly?
Yes. Yes.
Even I noticed I had an aha moment. Even when I asked the question in the very beginning, before I even knew I was going to volunteer, the question that came through, I even got a hint as to what question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? I don't know. Maybe that'll help somebody. It helped me.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the question, like the people getting information for you, what they would ask, the question?
Yes, you know, like what do you have for this person?
Uh-huh. Yeah, what is it, Connie? What is the question?
Well, actually, that was the aha moment I had. Even for a nanosecond, I wasn't sure what I was even going to ask, but I realized when I knew what question to ask, that in itself was coming from the angels.
Oh, right.
That makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very good point. And that's, you know, when I came up with those several questions I shared, those were questions that worked for me. You know, that's what I came up with, that when I sat down first starting to do these verbal sessions, you know, a few years ago, and it was exactly the same. It was just, I just found myself, that's what I asked, and all the information came and it worked, and I did feel that, you know, the angels knew exactly what worked for me, what questions. You know, would work for me. So, yes, I think that's a very good point that you're making. So, did you want to share those certain questions? What that was? If not, that's okay. But did you feel that would be helpful? But no, you're just wanting to share that it would come from the angels.
Did I want to share what question I asked? Is that what you're asking me?
Well, were you? I might be misunderstanding. Are you saying that? The question came of, like, what someone would ask, like when they were saying, what do you have for?
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. what the format of that question would be? If we were
right.
Asking for information? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I felt myself getting kind of tense as soon as you brought that up, and I knew that's where we were going to go with it. And then I realized the format of the question that I asked, that, too, came from the angels.
Right. Okay. I got it. You just wanted to share that insight.
Yeah,
yeah, so very, very good one. And
that helped me relax a bit.
Right. Thank you, Kaya. It's a really, really good insight, and that is absolutely true, that that, you know, the angels are orchestrating all of this, and they know how to bring the information through to you, and they also know how, you know, what questions and, you know, your whole way of doing it. So all of this I'm sharing, you know, I'm certainly not saying this is the only way to do it by any means, but I'm just suggesting, you know, the only way I have to share is how, you know, I've done it, and hoping that from there, you know, you'll develop your way. And so you'll likely end up taking maybe some of the tools that I use. You may change those, embellish those, add to them, do something completely differently. But hopefully this will kind of get the ball rolling for you. So, yes, the angels definitely will work with you of how for you to kind of, you know, connect and communicate with them. So, that's a good point. So with the self-communication, now let's say you've, you know, you've done a session, you've done a pre-connecting for yourself, and you've, you know, written down all of these things or whatever, you're doing a session for yourself. So there's sort of your session for yourself, all your pre-connecting notes, and you can go from there. That may be enough for you at times, but I also suggest that you actually record and deliver the information to yourself. And again, the next class we're going to really get into the delivery. So you actually record as though, so you're going to kind of talk to yourself as though you were talking to a client giving the information. So sort of that observer sort of thing. So what I want to say about the pre-connecting is that I always do the pre-connecting. I've been doing that for years. It really works. And I'm a huge fan that if you find something that really works for you and it's not broken, like don't fix it. If you found a tool that's working and it's helping people, then for me, I don't change it unless I really feel guided or I just find myself doing it differently. I don't usually really analyze it too much. And for me, the pre-connecting, you know, it wasn't just the bicycle training wheels. It's really become the vehicle of how I do my sessions. And I do the pre-connecting no matter how short the session, even if I'm doing a, you know, 15-minute session with someone. With the pre-connecting, let me see, I may skip through something, make sure that I get the critical things covered tonight. I'm not far off track at all with the time, but... Okay. The one thing I do want to cover is that you're really on a need-to-know basis with the angels, and you can trust that. So I wanted to explain that sometimes information comes through, it can be very specific. Sometimes it may not be, and sometimes that's most conducive for it not to be detailed, more profound for your client. I think I gave some examples last time. Okay, so back to our self-communication. Sometimes when we're communicating, we're wanting insights from the angels for ourselves. Something we may tend to do is ask yes or no questions. So kind of like, do I take this job? And we're wanting a yes or no. Or is this relationship, you know, appropriate for me? You know, yes or no. Or we might ask questions in ways that already have definable options for answers. So sort of like a multiple choice test. So we'll say, do I take this job or that one or that one? Or would I move here or here or here? Or do I develop this gift of mine or that one or that one? And in a way, you know, our mind may think it's easier to kind of narrow it down to that multiple choice kind of thing. But really that's more challenging, I'm going to suggest, because you already have preconceived ideas about what the answers might be. And you're trying to hear one of those, or so you think that you're trying to hear one of those. And that can tend to be limiting and actually more repressive of your intuition, because the cognitive mind is getting involved and it tries to grab onto things. And also, of course, because you likely have an emotional attachment to the information. So you can really open it up a lot with having it be more of what I'd say like an essay question, so that it becomes more vast and that also takes the emotional edge off of it. So when you're doing your self-communicating, that's another reason to say, you know, just what do I need to know? Or what do you have for me? Or you could say, you know, if I were doing a session for myself, I could say, okay, what does Kathy Landry need to know? Or what do you have for Kathy Landry? Even when I'm doing my self session, always do the breathing before, very important. And another way to help you understand why, rather than asking those specific questions of the angels in the beginning of your communication with them or a session for yourself, is you don't need to define your concerns to them. They already know what they are. They know what your specific questions are. They know them more intricately than you do, actually. So you're really just opening it up for them to come with their wisdom of knowing the first steps for you and their wisdom of something else that may be more important for you first, you know, horizons you can't imagine yet. So it really is easier to kind of jump into the vastness, the vastness, rather than trying to get yes or no or multiple choice answers. And we're going to do a short exercise here, kind of all together. We're going to be each of us just doing it on yourself, just for you to go through a process and sort of see what comes through for yourself. But again, from what you do tonight, you know, don't judge your ability to communicate for yourself. First of all, nighttime may not be your most intuitive time. You know, it's getting later in the nighttime. If we were in an all-weekend workshop in person, then we could do longer exercises and it could maybe be more deeply experiential for you. But, again, this is just for you to get your feet wet and just start to get a feeling and get the energy going. So what we're going to do, we're going to do this two ways. And the first one is we're going to breathe first. We're going to breathe for 3 minutes. So just breathe, just a normal speed. So breathe very deeply with your diaphragm in through your mouth and out through your nose. And I'll guide you into the next step in a moment, so just breathe. Focus on your breath. Breathe very deeply. And now just say to yourself, angels, what do you have for, and say your own first and last name. And then just jot down anything you feel coming. And if you need to ask the question of them again, just, angels, what do you have for, your first and last name. take a couple more breaths. Going to bring more information through for yourself. This time you're going to ask the question, angels, what do I need to know? Angels, what do I need to know? Okay, now the angels are adding something to this exercise because of what Connie brought up. See how it works? So, this time, ask your own question, a general question. You know, that's just as general, open-ended, and vast as the ones you just used. But make up your own, or embellish one of those. Whatever clicks for you, pops into your mind, ask that question, and then jot down anything you feel coming. Okay, so this is something that you can also work with. And what I want to do here, I have a little bit more that I could share tonight. There are not more exercises, a bit more information about your receiving information for yourself. But I want to see if anyone has any questions they want to ask about what we've done so far. If you feel anything that, you know, would really be helpful for you to ask, I want to make sure we allow that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sure can.
At one point you said to breathe in
through the nose. I forgot. You just say your name.
Oh, it's Callie. I'm sorry.
Callie. Okay. No, that's okay. I didn't remind everyone to do that. Go right ahead.
Okay. Earlier in the session you said it was best to breathe in through the nose and then out through the mouth, and then when we started this last breathing session, you said breathe in through the mouth and out through the nose.
Oh, that was an accident. I'm sorry. I said it wrong.
You have found.
I'm sorry?
Which one is the best that you have found?
Oh, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth.
Okay.
That's what I do. That's worked best for me. And then a lot of breathing exercises out there, I've definitely not done a lot of breath work or that kind of thing, but from a lot of people who teach, you know, just simple breath techniques, I think often what I've seen is they suggest in through the nose and out through the mouth. So, yeah, I'm sorry, that second time I just got it reversed. Thanks for asking about that, Callie.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Any other questions? Okay, do you want me to go on? Do a bit more then? Okay, we'll do that. Any question comes up, just jump in. Okay. With the self-communication, let me just find my bearings here. I want to talk a little bit more about when we're receiving information for ourselves, some of those emotional things that could come up, because you just went through the exercise and you just did it. So we talked about several things last time about, you know, if we feel like the angels are being authoritarians or just all the different patterns we can hold. One of them I want to talk about, too, is that, you know, I want to go back to that example I gave last time of when the very first message I ever got from the angels that I remember ever getting 20-something years ago, and I was engaged, lived in Mexico, was in the cab from the airport coming back into town, going to the apartment. We shared, very excited. I found my soulmate, my true love. Everything was wonderful. Everything seemed absolutely wonderful. I was desperate to be loved, to be lovable. And the very first message ever came out of the blue, I call it out of the angel blue, from the angels that said, he's going to cut you. And with that broken Spanish, broken English translation, didn't mean he's going to cut me physically with a knife, cut meant breakup. In that area of Mexico, they use that verb. Same as if you're going to cut a cloth or cut the carpet, you know, you cut the relationship. So I had that come. And if you remember, you know, even though I just had my first intuitive reading months ago, I knew about, you know, what I call theys and thems, you know, guides and angels. And but still, when that came, you know, my inclination was that I argued with it. Now, so the thought just out of the blue came through, you know, he's going to cut you, he's going to break off the relationship with you. So on some inherent level, it must have felt pretty natural for me to receive a message on some inherent spiritual level, you know, from long ago, from before I came to this life, from wherever you want to say, because, you know, I argued with it. So if I didn't know it was a message, you know, I wouldn't have argued with it. But you would have thought, though, that at least, so my argument was, no, he's not. And very lovingly and gently, the message came again, yes, he is. Now, you would think I would at least have said something like, well, who are you? You know, who's talking to me? You know, what do you want? Where are you coming from? Who's there? But I didn't. So, you know, all I could do was argue with it. And one of the things that can happen, and I'm going to say, you know, it could be easy to say, oh, that was 20-something years ago, it was in the late 20s, you know, didn't know much about this, whatever, you know, the natural would have done this. But I want to suggest that this can sometimes happen at any age. I've noticed this with my clients who, you know, experience this, who have done a lot of healing work in their lives for themselves and for other people and myself as well. You know, it depends on where you are and what the message is about coming through. Now, if it's about, oh, you know, that parking space is not good, take this one, you know, no big deal. But when it's about something you have a very deep attachment to, and in my case back then, you know, what I saw, the angels or whoever was bringing this message to me, you know, they were interfering with something very, very core. And that was that, you know, above anything, I needed to not be abandoned, even for a moment. So even if the message, you know, coming from the angels ultimately would take me to, you know, a better life for myself, of knowing that that was going to happen, you know, the process of getting there was another thing. I didn't want to go through the being abandoned by who I felt was the love of my life for even a moment. So, you know, in other words, I saw the angels interfering with that unwelcome kind of presence. And the other thing, you know, I want to say is, would I react in the same way now if I was in a similar situation with someone I believe to be a bonded mate, and I got a similar, you know, message? Well, I hope I wouldn't, you know, just argue and ignore it and not ask for more information, like at least, well, when, how, what can I do, how can I help myself? But, you know, again, it would depend on many factors. What was it I would feel would be at stake for me, how emotional I was at the time, how stressed, all of that. I don't know if many of us, if we receive such a message out of the blue about something that's really, really important, would be able right now to say, oh, cool, angels. Oh, that's so awesome. I'm looking so forward to it. I can't wait. I'm so excited. So now, of course, if we've already been processing something and you're already kind of aware maybe there's an issue with your relationship, and so the message coming was more of a validation or more of a provoking you to look deeper, then that might not be quite as shocking or bring quite such a reaction. But if it's something out of the blue, sometimes it can be a little bit different. So the main thing to remember is that the angels aren't just psychic messengers. You know, they're supporters and they're helpers. And they stick with you, and they're really in it for the long haul with you. And the other thing I want to mention about that, another example I want to bring from that scenario is, you know, the message they gave me was, he's going to cut you. You know, five words. Now, you can believe that from where I am now with doing sessions and what I know, how elaborate the angels can be and how intricate and how much of a dialogue and all these tools and help, and, you know, they don't just leave you stuck somewhere. In a session, they take you somewhere else and help you get through it. So you can bet I'd look back and say, well, in the angels, I have a little bit of a, you know, what's with that? Why don't you just give me that one shocking five-word sentence instead of going on to, you know, help me? Well, what I got back from them about that was this image of, you know, my angels were all, you know, gathered around this sort of a Morse code thing back then, and they're trying to figure out how many words they can get through to me. Because I wasn't very open, and again, I was very guarded about whatever I wanted to protect and the way I wanted to protect it, you know, that wounded aspect of me inside. So they're there with this Morse machine or Morse code, not really a machine, but, you know, trying to figure out how many words that I was good for, that they could get through to me. So one of them comes up with, oh, see, we could say, things aren't as good as you think. Oh, that's seven words. That's not going to go. She's only good for five words, we can tell. You know, and another angel comes up with, well, if we can send one man to the moon, why can't we send them all? Well, it's like, oh, that's 15 words. No way we're going to get that through to her. That might get some kind of message. You know, and another one says, oh, we could say, you know, he's going to move out. That's five words. Or maybe he's going to leave. You know, that's four words. Maybe that's even better. And another angel say, no, but, you know, with her current combobulation of her cognitive language skills, there's no way, because she doesn't remember what move out or leave means. She only knows this broken Spanish, broken English, you know, he's going to cut you kind of thing. Which, by the way, the interesting thing is I had never, when I thought in my mind, even though I tended to think in general in half-broken English, half-broken Spanish with strange literal translations back and forth, but when I talked about, you know, like somebody else's relationship breaking up, I normally said that like, you know, breaking up or relationship breaking up. So it was so poignant the way it came through that it was my typical kind of cognitive mind thinking those days, but it was in a certain kind of sentence that I'd never used, but yet it fit my mold, if you kind of get the sense of that. So, you know, I could see them all hovered around, and they had to decide, you know, we got to get it through in five words. How are we going to say it where it has the possible deepest impact, where she realizes the shock's around the corner, that we need to help protect her from the shock of that? And so, you know, they did the best they could do at the time. So it's an easy process to communicate, but really depending on how open we are and what it's about. So when it's about yourself and out of the blue, that can be a bit more challenging. And the last thing I want to share about that pattern, a similar pattern as well, is that I think most of us really, you know, we view the angels as one of the ultimate agents of love, especially of unconditional love. You know, they love everybody all the time. But if we believe that, and if there's something really inside us that doesn't quite feel lovable enough or good enough or whatever you want to term it, we can possibly think, okay, the angels are the ultimate agent of love. They love everybody all the time. But maybe not me. In other words, maybe I'm not lovable enough, good enough, or there's a big cloud hanging over me for some reason. I don't understand, but I feel a big cloud hanging over me, and they can't love me like they love everybody else. So it's almost like, you know, if you feel you are at the table, maybe before you came into this life, you're sitting around the table with the angels, and the angel love was being passed all around, but you're feeling that there must not have been enough to go around to you when it got to you. You know, or like the angels were wrapping their wings around everyone, embracing everyone, but there wasn't enough wingspan to include you. So that's another thing I've found for myself and for, you know, some of my clients, that can be something that can be in there that you can feel. And that's something to be worked with. So through these classes, as we're talking about this, I really want to recommend that if any of this kind of sets off something, and you know, like how Connie was saying earlier that, you know, when it got to what the question would be, you would ask to generate the communication with the angels, and you start to feel kind of nervous or something about what, you know, would that be. So if you start to feel some kind of emotional charge about these things that I'm sharing, some of these possible, you know, emotional issues or challenges, then maybe take note of that, and you may want to have someone do some, you know, individual counseling with you or individual work with you, because that's, as you can work through that, you can get to where you can receive more insights for yourself from the angels. So the first step is to feel and to know that there is enough wingspan for you. There was before you came into this life, there is now, and there's enough angel love to go around. There's no limit on angel love. So we're at about 9:02 here, so let me just see what I need to say. I pretty much got through everything tonight. I maybe had another 5 minutes, so no biggie. We'll just start with that next week. And let me just see what I need to share with you in closing. If you'll bear with me for just a moment.
Kathy, I have a question before you close.
Yes, yeah, that was the next thing I was going to say, actually, so you're right on track. Go ahead.
I have a question. This is Evelyn. On that CD that you mentioned last week, there was one made in 98.
Oh, yes.
There are a number
I'm sorry, miss. I did say which CD, but, you know, a lot of information. It's, of course, Aeolia was the musician, and the CD is called Angel Love.
Well, there's one that was made in 98, then there's a second one.
Oh, called Angel Love?
Yes.
I believe the one I have, I know it's been out for a really, really long time, so I'm going to say it's the oldest one.
Okay.
It has a light pink cover.
Yeah, well, they all do.
Oh, they do? Okay. let's see. That's the only CD of his I have. I mean, I just saw somewhere, I know somewhere along the way that he's got more.
Okay,
I would say it's the first edition of it.
Okay.
That's the one I have, so that's probably the first one I'd recommend you get, just to be in line with the one I've had the experiences with. So I would say whatever's the oldest one.
No worries, thank you.
Called Angel Love by Aeolia. And anyone else have a question? I have one other real quick thing I'm going to say to you about in a moment, and this is, you know, you are my first class of actually really in a, you know, sharing all of this, teaching of how to do this. So for your patience with me, as we work out some little kinks of this, one of the things that I probably will include in my future classes in some way or have be part of it, but I want to give to you is one of my music CDs for Love of the Soul that is all excerpts from when I was doing the private sessions for music. So it's all that kind of creative, unpredictable, spontaneous, it's angel energy. And what I want to do with that, I'm out of them. So you're sure it's like, oh yeah, how could you be out of them? Well, yeah, I know I am. But what I'm going to do is just burn some copies of them at home, enough for those of you in the class. And if you want the CD, all I'll ask is that you just pay the shipping, $3 of shipping, and I'll mail that to you, and that may be helpful to you as well. I still suggest you get Aeolia's Angel Love CD. It's different music, and So if you were just going to get one, I'd probably suggest for right now that you get his CD. But if you want mine, what I'm going to do in the next couple of days, those of you in the class, I'll email to you a link of a little secret place. You can go on my website and a little PayPal button where you can just pay the $3 shipping. And if I get that from you, I know it means you want the CD, and I'll ship it to you, the one of mine. But I won't charge you for it because it'll just be a homemade copy, and it won't have the insert and all that wonderful stuff that it has that I just don't have any right now. But I'll always send you the music CD. So I wanted to offer that to you as a possible, you know, helpful gift of the CD itself. So we'll close here. Any last questions?
Yes, Kathy, this is Connie. And which CD is that you're
offering? Oh, yeah, it's of mine. It's For Love of the Soul. And if you already have it, you can have another copy of it if you want. If you want to pay the $3 shipping, and you could use the second copy for your car, your office, or, you know, so you have two copies. If you're not sure you want the CD and want to hear excerpts of it, go to my website, and you'll see a page on the navigation bar that says CD for Love of the Soul. And click on that, and you'll find numerous little sound samples you can listen to.
Okay.
To see if you felt something you want. So I wanted to offer that too. That just came in today from the angels. They suggest I do that, and glad to do it.
Oh, what a nice gift. Thank you.
Oh, so any other questions, anyone? I know we're at about 9:07, but if you need to go, just go ahead and, you know, hang up if you need to. Anyone want to ask the last question? I'm going to be good for a few more minutes if you want to hang up, but I won't hang up yet, but I'll just go ahead and say goodnight to everyone in case you need to go. And it's just a joy tonight to do this with you. I hope this will be supportive. I know it was a lot of information I threw at you. I hope that, you know, it's being done in a format and in a way that will, you know, be helpful to you. And definitely welcome feedback and, you know, comments. And we'll have more time for questions next week as well. Okay? So unless anybody wants to hang on, ask me a question, and I'll go ahead and say goodnight.
Kathy, this is Elizabeth. It's not a question, just want to say thank you for your insight and your insights and your guidance. It's really been helpful to me.
Oh, I'm so glad, Elizabeth. Thank you for being with us and your sweet, gentle energy. And thanks for that feedback. It is very helpful for me.
thank you.
Okay. Anyone else, any questions? Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night,
everyone.
We'll see you next week, okay?
Okay.
Good night. Oh, and don't forget, probably as soon as this call's over, for sure by tomorrow, the recording's available same way as the last one. So you're welcome to download it and keep it and work with it later. If you ever have any problem, download. Just remember it's only up for a week until the next class starts, and then it kind of records over it in their system. So if you want it, make sure you get it before the next class starts.
Okay. Thank
good
you.
Night, everyone. Yes. Much love.
Night.
Sleep with the angels. Bye bye.
Goodbye.
Is anyone lingering? In case anyone has had a question, I haven't hung up yet. Okay, good night, all.